Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on Yo Bros. I'm Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ronnie, what's up?
Nothing, everybody. We're so glad to be back for another recap of Below Deck on the main feed. We moved these over to the bonus feeds last week, but you guys were like, what the hell? So now we're doing it on the main feed this week, okay? Bravo's just given us so many shows that we are having to juggle, like, you know, what's going on the main feed and what's going on the bonus. So if you're not part of the bonus feed, get the hell over there, okay? It's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. The very cheapest amount is $1. You get all of our bonuses. Or if you want to upgrade, you could do $5 and get all of our videos. We do 2 a week on recap, so go check that out. We're also doing a live show for the premiere of Real Housewives of New York City that will be live on the internet. It's global. You can get tickets at Watch What Crappens or go to onlocationlive.com/watchwhatcrappens. That'll be this Thursday night at 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern, which is 8 p.m. Central. Wow, so many times.
And you know what? A lot of people have been asking us to weigh in on Bethany Frankel's new reality show. And we're not necessarily going to fully recap it, but we are definitely going to address it on our live show. So not only are we going to be recapping the Roni premiere, we're talking
the big shot with Bethany Frankel. Huh? What's up? What's the matter? What's happening? What's going on?
And then afterwards, we're also going to do a Q&A. So, you know, it's going to be a really, really fun night. And to get excited for both Roni premiering and for our big live show, we have been doing a countdown since last week about the top 10 most underrated Roni players. And I keep meaning to make a theme song for it, you know, to sort of make it feel like a very special, exciting thing. And I didn't do a theme song. I've been too lazy to do a theme song. So instead, I'm just going to play Ramona laughing.
Sounds like a belt, like a car belt.
That's our theme song. I can't even do it. It's a special song for only her.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared. I'm gonna have to warm up the old vocal cords before New York starts off again, because the Ramona squeals are a necessary part of that experience. Okay, so we are at number 5, Ben. Oh, you can also vote on these results day by day. Just go to our Instagram stories, and you can vote. Kate, there's a poll every day that the show goes up, so go vote. Ben, who do you have for number 5, most underrated Real Housewives of New York cast members?
Well, I have to say first and foremost that my entire list is a little bit... things are a little wonky with it, because I actually went on to IG Live last night and I just was asking people, you know, who do you think is most underrated? And everyone was giving so many good suggestions that I had totally forgotten about. So I'm kind of like improvising from here on out. And but we're just going to go with it. My number 5 most underrated Roni player is Aviva Drescher. Okay. She is generally pretty hated. People are like, ugh, Aviva. But when you actually think about it, when you actually think about her neuroses, her her obnoxiousness, all that good stuff, it's pretty remarkable. And I mean, everyone likes to talk about how she threw that leg across the room, which to me felt like actually a very staged moment. I just think it all comes down to that trip to, what was it, St. John's, St. Bart's, wherever it was, St. something. He's like, you know, you should have a banner up there congratulating me for getting down here, saying thank you, Reed. I mean, she's pretty amazing.
You did it. Yes, she had all the classic housewives. You know, I'm so afraid of flying. Like, she did all of that stuff. We didn't get a vaginal rejuvenation ceremony from her, but we did have so many of the housewives stop along the trail. I agree. Aviva's actually higher up on my list. So
wow.
I'll get to my Aviva opinions when we get to Aviva. But I agree. I think Aviva is highly underrated in the Real Housewives of New York universe.
And don't forget, she went to law school, guys. She went to law school. That was a big thing she would pull out. I feel like we actually overlooked that part. How she would... I felt like in many arguments, she'd be like, listen, I went to law school.
I still say when I'm mad, I still, even to my dog, I'll be like, oh, really? You want to go outside? Writer girl.
Well, I went to Vassar and then I went to law school. So there.
Well, my choice for number 5 is actually very fitting. in this discussion because it's Carol, Aviva's big. Carol was Aviva's big nemesis in her seasons. And I think Carol, you know, some might say, why is Carol underrated? She did a pretty good job on the show. I think she's underrated. You know, she was highly rated. Then she had that season with Bethany where things went south. And we really liked her. We were Team Carol for most of that season, really until the end when Carol just kind of went off the rails and then wore her grandma glasses to the reunion and, you know, kind of told off Andy, which, you know, we're not against. But still, like, she just kind of lost the argument. And it really wasn't a difficult argument to win with Bethany. I thought Bethany was very, very wrong.
I actually was the inverse of that. I actually felt like I was a little bit more on Bethany's side that season. I felt like Carol was being a mean girl. And then at the reunion, I was like, wow, Bethany is a lunatic. And even though Carol is wearing, you know, glasses from Tootsie, I think I may have to be on Carol's side for this. I remember that's how I felt, but maybe I should go back and listen to the tape to see how I really felt. Sometimes, you know, my memory.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you were with me on the Team Bethany thing. It wasn't a big fight that year. It was, I mean, Bethany was just kind of coming up with, like, you're being so mean to me. You're being so mean to me. Oh my God, everything that Carol's doing. And Carol didn't really know that Bethany had been talking about her the whole time. And so she was really confused about what was even going on. Mm-hmm. And, then at the reunion, Carol should have gone in there with a clean, easy win, and she really didn't, and she kind of let me down at that reunion. And then after, you know, just reading her on Twitter, really she does become more and more of an asshole as,
yes,
as time goes
true.
On, which
that's
brings
true.
Her up to more underrated, because I'm like, look at all we're missing from Carol. I mean, Carol just going crazy on Twitter and acting like, oh, you know, her whole Housewives stint was just because she's a writer, which she hasn't even gone through with our prediction and written a book. I mean, at least make yourself useful. Write an insider's book about it or something. But she's always commenting on the show and, you know, acting like she's above it while still having to mention it every once in a while to keep herself relevant. I mean, she's just become so thirsty and needy that it's moved her up in my relevance list. And I could use her back. So my number five is Carol.
Well, you know what? I'm sure that book is going to come soon because remember, when it comes to writing a book, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Ah, I ran a marathon. It was in honor of Hillary, who's for sure going to win office.
Isn't it crazy how time flies?
Yeah, or runs very slowly.
it is going to take a long time because she's going to have to wait for a new writer to die.
So I can get a ghostwriter.
by the way, big accusation against her.
Yes, that's true. By the way, speaking of exercise, I have something I'm very proud of, which is that I was hired to write an article about Peloton, and it came out today. I was hired by The Dip, where we were actually interviewed. I was hired to recap a Peloton ride with Dennis Morton, who is this real
funny.
Yeah, it's like he's like a real dad bro thing. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do a Dennis Morton ride. And it was like, it was torture, not because of the ride, just like everything he said and all the music he chose. It was just so bad. So I recapped the whole thing. So if people, you know, I have not written a recap in a few years. And usually I write it about TV shows. So I've never written one about a Peloton class, but I did it and I had a lot of fun with it. So, I have the link on my Instagram and around, but just go to thedip.com and check it out. And I hope you all really enjoy it. But yeah, I had a really, really fun time writing that article. So
love it. Well, I'll have to go check that out while I am not on the Peloton, which could be really any minute of the day.
Wow. That really, you know, writing and running, I really am turning into a Carol Radziwill myself, aren't I?
You are. You know, I'm going to have to get my, you know, my fake leg ready in my arm to throw at you.
Please do. I need it in my head sometimes. Okay, but today we are actually not here to talk about Peloton or Carol Radziwill for that point. Although, man, wouldn't it have been so perfect if this was the episode that Cindy Barshop showed up on with Below Deck Sailing Yacht. That's what you would call synergy. Bravo, synergy. But this is not Below Deck Sailing Synergy. It's Below Deck Sailing Yacht. So we are going to get into it. It was a fun episode last week. So this week opens up with there's this Lovely group of guests, truly lovely, and they're having cocktails on top of a fort in Croatia. And Gary has just radioed for JL to come bring four bottles of water. Sorry, I'm from New York.
Water. Hey, you pronounce water the way you pronounce water. Okay.
Real Housewives
of pronounce
New
York. water like Teresa pronounces daughter.
Water.
My daughter. Listen, I've got certain things I say.
My daughter.
So JL's eating spaghetti again. Long story short, JL's eating spaghetti, so Gary has to go get the water.
Well, actually, I don't want to put Natasha in a bad place because Natasha does often make spaghetti, so I will give her credit and say, no, Ben, he was actually eating fettuccine this time, okay? Natasha is not just a one-hit wonder, Ben, okay? This was some fettuccine. So, yeah, he's a very slow fettuccine eater and really doesn't rush to get waters to anybody, right? So Gary's like, oh, I can do it faster than him. I'll be right back. They are so lazy, that loser. So he starts running down the stairs. Now, anyone who is a heavy smoker or has ever been a heavy smoker knows it's not worth proving yourself, okay, to do this. Yeah. Because the rest of pretty much the episode, Gary tries to prove he's not out of breath. And he will be out of breath for at least 6 years from this run down the castle steps.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, castle steps are automatically pretty tiring. And then if you add in, you know, chain smoker, which we have to assume that's what Gary is. That's a tough combo. Medieval fort steps and chain smoking. That's tough.
Yeah. Steps were made back then, like, to keep people away from your castle. Okay. They were, like, much more difficult back then. They had murder holes. Okay. We've recapped some House Hunters, so we know what a murder hole is.
We do. Listen, they didn't have video games back then. So their entertainment was, let's see how crazy we can make this staircase and see who can get up it. Okay. Yeah. That was video games in the Middle Ages.
Murder holes were the medieval Mario. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Gary is trying
fell
to
off
call
that side of that building.
Gary is trying to call Jean-Luc. He's trying and trying, and Jean-Luc just keeps sitting there with his fettuccine and then very slowly gets up and starts kind of moping around with his Teresa Giudice hairline. Actually, now that I think about it, why is Teresa in my mind? I don't know. So he's walking around and he's like, I don't know where the cooler bag is. And by then, you hear Gary, who basically sounds like Divine after she just found out what an elliptical was, comes in and he's like, water. And he's like, I got some water. He's like, still water. And what are they going to do with sparkling water?
He's like, you want me to get a bag? It's like... You had like 15 minutes to figure out the answer to that. Yes, put them in a bag and you only got three bottles too? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so then Gary runs out of there and Jean-Luc just keeps pacing very, very slowly around.
Yeah, he's doing that thing where if he paces around and looks like he's doing something, it's going to substitute for actually doing something.
Yeah, and then we get a symphony of Gary breathing like this. It was like watching Our Planet.
I thought it sounds like Insidious to me. It's like, was that the trailer for Insidious? It's like, was that an old tree? Was that the old Deku tree from Zelda? What's going on here?
And listen, I'm allowed to laugh because I have the same thing, okay? I can walk to get the remote control off the table, and I'll be like... so he goes back, and he's just dying going up those stairs, and then he's trying to hide that he can't breathe anymore, and he's like, I'd be quicker than him, and starts like kind of posing... like that's going to hide, you know? He's completely
holding himself
out of shape
up
with it. Yeah, he is.
Mm. So, so now the guests are, now they have their water and they're having their pleasant cocktails in the blazing sun, evening sun. And then Gary and Daisy are talking about how the charter's going and how it's a good charter. And Daisy's saying how Natasha is 100% better. And she says, she's like, yes, even on the last trip, her breakfast the first day was amazing. And then the next day it was half hour, so Gary, it was a half hour's breakfast. I mean, you can't give me 10 pitas and say that that's full hours, okay?
So then we go over to Jean-Luc and Sydney talking, and basically, you know, she's like, oh my God, why are you still walking around? You got to go to bed. You have to go to, look at you. You've done so much today. Just please take a load off, Jean-Luc, please.
Yeah, please. Jean-Luc, you do so much. So now the guests are heading back down to the boat and everything, and Gary is like, can someone give me a hand up here? And Colin's like, I'll come. Like, I guess that's a no one. Didn't hear any voices on there. No, I'll come. I'll come. I'll help. Oh, just hearing the sound of the wind.
So one of the ladies, they hear one of the ladies going down the stairs, and she's like, so are Gary and Daisy dating? And he just looks at the camera like, I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
Yeah, he does not like that insinuation. So now they're preparing for tonight's murder mystery. This week's murder mystery on Bravo. And Danny is into it because she used to spend nights playing RPG games, which I think is adorable. I never would have expected that from her. And then we get the montage. The montage that I hate that happens every season on any Below Deck that happens in the Mediterranean, which is watching deck crews bring lots of chairs and tables down narrow staircases in heat and humidity. It's like one of the most torturous things to watch.
It's just part of the format for the show, which always cracks me up. Like, we have to, even if they're not into it, two of the crew members have to pretend that they're in a relationship, right? And then there always has to be a lot of stairs.
Somewhere in the middle of the season. Yeah. A lot of stairs.
Some
terrible producer on Below Deck says, oh, I heard that there's a citadel and tomorrow it's going to be 105 degrees. Let's suggest that the guests have cocktails for 30 minutes at the top there and they want the most lavish setup. Great.
Every single time. So they're setting up and, you know, Lizzie is just so excited because that's Lizzie. She's like, oh, this is so much fun. It's so much fun. Oh my God, that girl's going to stab somebody.
That's appropriate. They're doing a murder mystery. So then Daisy, truly the worst murder mystery MC we've seen, and we've seen several at this point. She's like, all right, here's how we play murder mystery. Okay, you have a pen and a paper for you to take notes, and each of you will have a card, and that will have various facts about your character, while revealing the facts about yourself, and then I'll die, and then you'll have to figure out who killed me. There you go, have fun.
Yeah. After a while, I'll drop dead. Okay.
Thank God.
Yeah, and one of the ladies actually goes, so are we in game mode right now? She goes, yar, isn't it fun? And she's like, wow.
Nar, really she selling it.
We and sold Glenn it times 100 more than Daisy did. Daisy really just stood there reading it like, and then you will pick up a paper, and then there will be a pencil, and then all die, and then we'll find out Sika did it.
And page one of two. Oh, hold on one second. And then,
yeah,
you'll have a nice, reading like lovely the, meal.
Yeah. So then, the lady goes, "Wow, what a director!" And Glenn is so confused because Glenn's having dinner with them, and Glenn acts like he's never heard what a murder mystery thing is in his life. So every time they are in character, like, "What a director!" He's like, "What?" It's part of the game, Glenn. Okay.
Yeah. He's very confused by role play. They're like, hey, so my name is Bonita Flake, and I am the lead in this movie. I work in front of the camera. And Glenn's like, whoa, that's amazing. I never met a real life movie star. Glenn, it's a role.
Yeah. Glenn, come on. You know how to role play. It's like when you were pretending you were an innocent person after you dumped all that oil off a coral reef and then ran away. Okay. Come on. According to social media. All right. So, one of the ladies is like, yeah, well, you know, the director led me on. And one of the her girlfriend is like, yeah, my husband was in jail. And you haven't seen your husband in months. Oh, well, that's too bad. You know, you should really try and give him a call. I think they get, you know, one call or something a week. Something like that. It's a game, Glenn. Okay.
Glenn is trying so hard to parse reality from fiction. He is really struggling. Daisy now dies. And so Allie goes, oh my god, someone just died, help, help, help. But of course the Deku has no idea what's going on, so Gary comes running in. He's just finally caught his breath, and he comes running in. Oh, never mind. I don't think he even realized it was a game. He just saw it was Daisy's corpse and was like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's not one of the ones I want to bang.
Yeah. It's one of the ones I'm not going to stick it in. So someone clean this up. So then the guests start going through the clues. And the kind of dorky guy, I didn't write down his name, but he's cracking me up because he's so animated today out of nowhere. I don't know if he was just shy in the last episode, but today he's like, I need to take a picture of you because I love getting a good shot. And Glenn's like, oh, are you a photographer? It's a mystery, Glenn. So then he gets really excited and he's like, oh, you know what? If that chef starts a pop-up, we are going. It's like, what a specific...
Is this part of the murder mystery? Compliment.
Yeah. No, the actual chef, Glenn.
And then there's like, the clues are so random. It's one of them says, the murderer does not like drinking tap water. Well, that's good because we actually don't have tap water on this boat. That's, you know, it's a luxury liner, so no murderers on board, guys. Glenn, we know there's no real murderers on board. It's a game. There's a fake murderer.
The murderer likes to be in front of the camera. The murderer has one shoe. Is that how these really work? I mean, I get it's deduction, but I guess it's just powers of deduction. I just answered myself.
I think I get the sense that that there are different types of murder mystery games, and this one is one where it's like a kit and it sort of like resolves itself. But the ones that are hosted, maybe it works differently. I don't know. I'm learning so much about the genre with literally every show on Bravo every single week.
Yeah, I'm guessing Bravo is now selling murder mystery parties. Like, there's something going on that they're on every single show on Bravo. But I have to say, they're not selling them very well. They all look completely lame. The best one was on Real Housewives of Dallas, if that tells you anything.
That really was the best because DeAndra got way too into character. I mean, she was swinging a gun at everyone. I mean, I was actually scared. I was like Glenn. I was thinking to myself, are we still in the game or is DeAndra actually trying to kill her castmates?
Yeah, you never know on that show. So Daisy pops up and she's like, look at me, risen from the dead. All right, who's the murderer?
Who's the murderer?
She like does not care at all. And so guess what, guys? It was Frank, which I was offended by. Of course, it's the big guy, you know? Uh-huh. I feel like even this fucking show is fat shaming me. Just get off my ass, okay? I'm calorie counting.
So, yeah, there's a lot of shaming this episode between the wheezing from Gary and now the big guy is the murderer. Wow. So now the boat is leaving the dock. There was a lot of talk about this. It was even last episode. It was like, oh, we're not going to spend the night at the dock because it'd be too close and people can climb up. And this episode, it was more, you know, if we stay here overnight, people could climb up on the walls. We got to get out of here. We got to move out of the dock. Oh, we're finally moving out of the dock. So I'm at this point expecting some drunk person in Croatia is going to try to climb on board because they're setting it up so much. I'm like, here it comes. Invasion of the Percival or whatever it's called. And then it was just like, no, they just moved the boat like a little bit out and then they dropped anchor. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But hey, at least we got Lizzie dancing really happily in the hallway alone. Okay.
So she was reenacting Robin dancing by herself.
Oh, God. Well, she has the hair for it, right? She's kind of got that Robin hair. So then we go, Glenn goes to bed and Danny and JL really try and make us think that there's some chemistry there and they're still not. It's just like super awkward. So she's like, so you like that I'm older than you, huh? Remember how I was crying about that about 5 minutes ago? It's romantic now. Let's talk about it. And he's like, yeah, I mean, being older means you know what you want. You know what? It really doesn't. Can I just dispel that myth right now? It doesn't. You literally get more confused as you get older.
I feel like in this situation, it's not that she knows what she wants. It's just that when she's just lowering her bar.
Yes.
Getting older means lowering your bar.
Yeah.
You think you're really raising your bar, but you're just lowering your bar.
No, you're lowering
your bar. At least in this case.
Yeah. So she's like, do you know what you want? And he's like, is fettuccine a bad answer? Oh, God. It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So now Sydney's asleep And then Allie texts Gary and she's like, come to my the ball. So they go to their romantic spot. And meanwhile, Danny is literally biting JL. He's like, ow. So Allie and Gary go to the bow and they have really scintillating conversation. Like, so how often do you call your mom? He's like, every day. That's actually a phone number. Hi, mom.
I haven't chatted with my dad for a while, and, you know, we don't chat.
And she's like,
well, I put myself in this situation every day. I say, if I die, well, I regret not chatting with my dad. And he's like, oh, look at you.
And then someone is watching them. Daisy's watching them with someone.
It's Danny, like, and Daisy.
She's like,
but Danny is like, hates them.
Uh-huh. Danny said, Danny did what?
Danny is the one who said, oh, sorry, Danny was that. Says, you know, oh, it's good for the little love couple in the front.
So it's the last day of charter now, 6:10 a.m. And a huge thing has happened, and it's come out of Colin's butt into the toilet. Okay, it's a huge plot twist. Colin has made the bathroom really stinky. So he's like, good looking there, bro. And Gary's like, oh, go, I can't deal with it. It's like, fan the toilet.
Some ghost came in here and laid a shit.
Oh, it was actually me, your roommate.
Oh, I thought I heard a voice. I don't know who it was. Thank God I live here alone.
So Allie and Daisy are talking, and Daisy's like, did you get a chance to talk to Sydney at all? And she's like, yeah. She said that everyone thinks that the interior crew is the problem.
Well, if she has a fucking problem, seriously, Allie, say it, take it up with the HOD. That's fucking bullshit.
Yeah. She's like, Gary, this is Gary's fault. And Gary's like, good morning. It's like the two fights of the...
Ollie, just tell me what you're saying about me. I can't believe that Ollie said that.
Oh, Ollie. So the guests are up and everyone's changing and Gary and Daisy sit down and in the mess. And he's like, good morning, Daisy. What the hostility? Can't you come talk to me if you've got a problem? And she's like, come and talk to you the way you speak to me. Is that what you want me to do? Talk to you the way you speak to me? Ole!
when did I do that? Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah.
So then he asks Allie what's wrong, and she's like,
well, she's mad because Sydney said the Ontario crew doesn't help ever.
And so then Gary's like, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem, even though I've bitched about it the entire season. Blah, blah. So he's now mad because he's like, it's not Sydney's place to say anything. Blah, 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 blah. So, and she's so he's like,
exactly my point. Exactly my point.
You know, she's like going to be sure to make trouble for Sydney, even though totally. She's pretending to be all innocent. Like,
well, I really like Sydney and I don't want to hurt her feelings.
It's like, okay. And then, well, her feelings are already hurt. And Sydney did say that stuff, but you knew that it was because she was mad at you. So now you're going to go try and cause problems for this lunatic all over the boat with everybody else. It doesn't mean Sydney's not a lunatic, but at this point, Allie is like kind of prodding her.
Thank you, Ronnie, because I was going to actually say at the top of the episode, but we were already talking about so many different things. I was going to say, listen, on this episode, you guys are going to hear me go in on Allie probably. And when I go in on Allie, it's not to take away from Sydney being a psychopath. Okay. If I go on Allie, it doesn't mean I'm Team Sydney, but it's time for us to recognize that Allie is not as innocent as she likes to portray herself to be. And all this talk about, like, I just want to be nice to Sydney, is I feel very performative now. In the beginning I bought it, but now I think it's performative. We will address this later in the episode, I'm sure, with more specific like supports for the argument.
But right now we have a very important scene to get to, and that is Glenn drinking apple juice with no music. They're like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. He's like, apple juice. That was delicious.
And then that's followed by an even more important scene, which is, here's your Mediterranean breakfast featuring pita bread, 20 pitas in a basket. Wow. We did it this time.
And it's oregano. Also, this pita was this pita was much better. You know, in the pita review, I have to say, since this is a season-long arc now, who knew? the pita bread today looked amazing. It looked like that thick pita bread. You know, it didn't look like the dry kind that my family seems to love eating. You know, they're like, if you can break your tooth on a pita bread, we did it right. I'm like, no, Cynthia, I don't think you did. And it's not that thin little corn tortilla type she served earlier in the season. This is just like I like it. Looks like it's covered in butter and oil and delicious.
I give that a 10 out of 10 pitas, which is still not 20. Where are the other 10?
So then Gary and Allie are talking, and Gary and Sydney are talking, and he's like, I didn't realize you complained to the girls about me. Blah, 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 blah. She goes, I didn't. He's like, now I've got a problem, because you went to the third crew. Who went to the chief's stew? Now I'm got in trouble, all right? And, you know, maybe I just shouldn't joke around anymore. Okay, shut up. You know, for yelling at her about it, you're the one who did it in the first place, sir. You're the one who's complaining constantly every day about it. So why am I standing up for Sydney? Stop making me stand up for Sydney. I don't like to stand up for Sydney.
Don't do this. Oh, I can't make jokes now. Okay. You're not doing a set at the improv. Okay. You've been complaining about this the entire time. So Sydney, of course, Sydney is like, well, I've stood by him and I've been his friend through so much of this. And I thought I was doing right by him, but I guess not. I'm like, well, also Sydney, relax. Like, you've been his friend through so much of this. What, like through mopping? It's not that much. So now Gary goes up to Daisy and he says he talked to Sydney, and Daisy is like, well, Sydney very strongly implied to Ali that there were several people, namely you, that were frustrated with the interior of crew, Gary. And Gary is like,
this is fucking pathetic. I feel like I'm in kindergarten, all right? And if I have a problem, I'll come talk to you. And so they give a high five. And he goes, I mean, you can't just keep walking away and get mad at me without speaking to me. And she's like, Gary, that's me. That's what I do. I'm the queen of dirty looks.
I'm the Enya of dirty looks. When I give you a dirty look, you should say, ah, but then also, ah.
I'm the queen of dirty looks.
I'm the queen. The queen. Who do you think you are? I'm the queen of them.
So Colin is like, all right, guys, here's what we're going to do. Guess. All right. You're going to jump off a rope, which is kind of reminiscent of when I met my girlfriend. We were both holding on, trying to just prove to each other. And they just start like falling off the boat to get away from the story. They're like, please.
No. We don't know how to use this rope swing, but we sort of felt like we heard some words along the wind coming from someplace. So now it's time for the sails to go up, but the sails going up. And now, you know, usually when they go sailing, this is really when the cutting board gets to shine. This is when the cutting board gets to do a swan dive out of the cupboard onto the counter. But this week, placemats were like, no, we're going to show you how to really do it. And placemats were like, everyone, we're free. We're going to do it. Everyone make a run for it. We're going to go. We're getting out of this place. Because all the placemats on the table just went fluttering up into the air. And no one caught them. I was like, is anyone going to catch the placemats are about to fly off into the sea. Is anyone going to catch those? No one? No one?
I know. We're going to see on the news a turtle with a placemat sticking out of its nose.
And the turtle's going to be like, no, I'm fine. This is like my new accessory. It's like my beach hat. Isn't it cute? No one?
Yeah. I wonder if the first placemat ever thought that this would happen, where they're like having a dramatic scene to music that's like the army's coming through the gates, king.
We're free. Everyone, we're free. We can go. We don't have to be eaten on anymore.
And they're like all excited. And then the dolphins come and just steal their thunder. They're like, no, wait, we can't go. They're dolphins. We have to watch.
Yeah, dolphins are following the boat. And, you know, everyone's like, wow. And Sydney goes, guys, this is not every day. I will go out with you, but it's not going to be anything serious. Okay, I'm off in 10. It's like, it's a dolphin, Sydney. Please stop hitting on the dolphin. Okay.
Oh, my God. I have so many guys who want to sleep with me. Look, they're like literally following the boat. Sydney, those are dolphins. Yeah, Dolph Lundgren. He's totally in my DMs.
So Lizzie, of course, is like, what a blessing. How magical. I'm tearing up.
So did any of these dolphins kill anyone? Glenn, the murder mystery ended last night. Oh, I'm having trouble keeping up.
You're guilty. Guilty, I say.
God, it's over, Captain. So Gary is talking to Colin, and they're talking about how Allie, you know, he still likes Allie a lot, which basically he likes Allie because he can't really get her, right? So he likes Allie. The second she bones him, he's out of there. Just putting that out there. So I'll give him a month. So he's like, she's got standards. And Colin's like, yeah, she's not someone's sloppy seconds.
And Gary said, she's not anyone's sloppy seconds. And then Colin just points at Sydney, just like wiping something down. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Forgot about her. So now the guests are packing because it's time for them to leave. And but before they can leave, they have to anchor, you know, because it's a boat and they're in water. So they got to anchor and
they got to park.
You got to park. Can you park the boat, please? Okay, there are some placemats in the water. Try to avoid those. Okay, those are from Croatia. Those are Croatian water placemats. Okay. So they have to drop anchors. But when they do that, the anchors, like many a failed Ghostbuster, they cross. The lines crossed.
The lines are crossed. Dun, dun, dun. And then Colin explains to us, this is a huge fuck up. We've got a couple of lines out there. They cross over each other. It could, if someone tries to get it, the anchor could take them down. It could chop off the hand off. It could do this. It could do that. And we all know this because we watch a little show called Below Deck. Nice try. All right.
Yeah. And this is, listen, I remember when Captain Sandy's anchor got all messed up and Wes had to go in there. So this is like, we know, Colin, we know. So basically,
isn't that what happened to Ashton too? What happened to Ashton?
Ashton was a little different. Ashton, he put his foot like in the ropes.
Oh, he got caught with the ropes. That's right.
Right. The tender was being dragged and he was about to get his legs just snapped off. Basically.
Well, I'd like to thank the placemats for at least giving us one new storyline this week. Thank you.
No, they didn't even do that because we already had what's her face last season on Below Deck. Dolores. Dolores already did the placemat storyline.
That's true. That's very true.
This charter is over.
Like Captain Lee, it's just placemats.
I don't care. We do not let placemats off the boat. God damn it.
So I like that everybody on the crew is like, this is the most dangerous thing to happen. Whoever deals with this could die. It could take off their hand. It could take off their head. Their penis. It could strangle them to death. Hey, JL, would you go down there and take care of this? Hey, least experienced person, could you deal with this? That'd be great. Thanks.
Hey, JL, the anchor is wrapped in chain-shaped fettuccine. Do you mind going? Oh, fettuccine? Sure. Yeah, no problem.
Hey, guy, we couldn't even trust to bring 3 regular bottles of still water to a location. Could you please go risk your life? That'd be great.
So Glenn is going on and on about like, you know, if you get your hand stuck, you know, it's going to take your hand down. And then, you know, you only got a minute to figure it out before you die and you drown down there. And then inside, it's just the guest being like, oh my gosh, Daisy, thank you so much for this wine. Thank you. I love when they do that, when they juxtapose like 2 popcorns, you know, something really scary on the outside with, you know, guests being totally oblivious on the inside.
So someone's like, oh my god, did John fall over? Because JL's down there. And then he does it. He's a hero. They lift it with the ropes and the lines uncrossed. And then he comes back and like, are you okay, man? And he's like, yeah, I feel a little dehydrated. I'm like, okay. Karma. Guy who wouldn't leave lunch to bring up water to people. And also, I like that he answers like he's in a hospital. It's like, you've been brought to the emergency room. Don't worry, you're just a little dehydrated.
Yeah, he's totally the sort of person who walks into the office and be like, hey, JL, how's it going? Just a little tired this morning. It's like, oh, great. Thanks. That's implied. It's the morning.
Yeah, no one's asking because they really want to know. Can you just say fine so we can all move on with our day, sir?
Thank you. So now it's time for the guests to leave. So they leave, and they're really sweet and lovely. And I'm, like, sad to see them go because we know that whoever comes on next is probably going to be a monster. Speaking of which, have to give a shout-out to Barry, just one of the greatest monsters the show has seen. He posted on Instagram a photo carousel, you know, where it's like you just swipe through all those different photos of, I guess it's his new baby or something. And the caption is just like, my girls. And it's just like, baby, baby, adorable, pretty baby, 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 baby. And then in the middle of this montage of photos, it's just Saffron, just like mid like mid-word, like just her face is all screwed up and she's looking down, like the worst angle ever of Saffron, yeah. And then back to babies.
Yeah, she's like lying back on a sun chair trying to put on, you know, when you're kind of looking down at yourself or you're putting sun stuff on yes. your boobs. You're like, is it cancer, Papa, or whatever. Like, what is that spot? Like giving this face, and he takes a picture and puts it in there. I mean, that guy is such a prick. I died.
He's so passive aggressive towards his own daughter, and it's just so transparent. And this girl, oh my God, I feel so bad for her. I mean, how does she live with this every single day?
Dad! So then everyone's changing, and we get a scene of Gary calling his mom, and he's like, Mom, there's another girl on board. She's so cool. Her name is Ollie.
Ollie! Her name is Ollie!
Now, Gary, her name is Ollie!
Ola!
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 And Allie is talking to Daisy in their cabin while they change. And Allie's like, oh, I've grown such a connection with Gara. We know, Allie. We all see it. I like how they pretend they're being so secret and really trying to spare Sydney's feelings when they're all over each other all the time.
All the time. And they have actually not connected about anything.
Yeah, why are we pretending it's a secret? And they have the right to be, that's fine. But I like that they're just pretending it's some hidden plot that nobody sees. And Daisy's like, listen, if you like someone, you can't go through life, you know, saying you're not going to doubt this person just because I have a past.
Yeah. So then Gary's mom is like,
well, take it slow, Gara. And if you see that this is the right girl for you, and if they got a problem, then you they gotta call your mother. Blah, blah, blah.
Thanks, Mom. Blah, 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 blah.
No problem, Gary. Blah, 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 blah.
So now it's time for tip meeting. Everything was almost perfect, except for that problem with the anchoring, which, you know, I could have taken care of a lot sooner if I'd realized it wasn't just part of a movie plot we were in.
You know, apparently when I look back at it, a placemat got somehow into the anchor housing. Don't even know how that happened, but it really messed things up.
So he gives JL compliments, and Jean-Luc is like, yeah, well, I did kind of save the day, and I deserve this.
Of course he believes he deserves it all the time, of
course. JL needs to give an Oscar speech stat. Because that's always implied, right? It's always implied, like, I'm the most amazing, but it's like it's said in different ways. Like, I never believed in myself, but having the opportunity, he's like, nope, I deserve this. Save the day.
I shared this compliment with the five other nominees in best compliment category. I couldn't have done it without you, but I guess I did. So thank you guys.
Suck my dick, suck it. So they get 15 grand, and good news, bad news. Bad news, bad weather's coming. Good news, you get to party like mother truckers, okay? And you're going to have a boat take you to a beach. There's going to be a dinner. There's going to be lots of stuff, right? Good news, bad news. Bad news, good news. Bad news, good news, good news, bad news. And Daisy's like, oh, so glad we don't have to clean.
Yeah, and she goes, thank you so much. And she claps, and speaking of the Oscars, she literally does the Nicole Kidman clap, where it's basically just like the high points of her palm touching and her fingers, you know, diametrically opposed to each other. She's like, thank you so much.
So everyone's like, oh God, how's this dinner going to go? Because the last one was kind of hinky. And Daisy asks Sydney, how do you think it's going, or Allie, how do you think it's going to go with Sydney? She's like, I have no fucking clue. It can't be worse than the last time. I just hope that no one notices that I'm starting to fall for Gary.
Yeah, I hope no one notices either, because you guys have done such a good job of keeping it discreet. So now they all head to this bar. Colin put on his finest free t-shirt for the occasion, but this time he actually had pants on, so I have to
yeah, he
that.
Had some nice acid wash light blue jeans on. And Natasha basically like he's ready to go to a ball.
Yeah pretty much. And Natasha is, I've noticed that I think when Natasha, when she's off the clock, all her relaxation or like post-stress, It all just comes out in caps lock. She speaks in caps lock when she's off the clock. She's like, can I have an octopus salad and a spicy pizza, please? I was like, oh my God. I was like, chill out. Chill out, girl. Hold on. Just order the pizza. It's cool.
Yeah, they're very excited for the pizza. And Gary and Ole are doing so good at hiding that they like each other. Gary's like, let's take selfies. Look at that. All right, let's take one with you kissing my cheek. All right, let's take one with me sticking it in your ear. All right. And Sydney's sitting right across from them, which, you know, is kind of her mistake, too, because she just follows around the hurricane and then wonders, you know, why her house was taken up in the air. It's like, stop chasing the twister, girl. Or not. Is a hurricane a twister? No, it's a tornado. No. Sorry, but you know what I mean.
She basically goes chasing storms and then wonders why Mary Elizabeth Mastriantonio calls her up and says, you're heading right into the jaws of the monster, you know?
Yeah. She's like, oh my God, I'm so in love with that twister. Why is the cow flying in my face? Why?
If you're going to chase the twister, expect to get the milk. Or at least the hoof. So, right. So Daisy starts talking about... They're very concerned about the fact that Daisy did not get a pizza. And she's like, no, I couldn't because I've gained a lot of weight. So then Gary's like, oh, Daisy, shut the fuck up. It's the one time I can say shut the fuck up and you don't take it personally.
And she's like, I don't take anything personal. Kidding. I take literally everything personal.
So then we got back to Natasha and she's like, I'm so insecure of myself, but all of us are thinking that we have flaunted our own way. And I think that the thing is that when you're flaunting, the other person's looking at this, like, they wish they could actually have that. All like, I have a pizza. I want a pizza. I just want a pizza. Like, oh my God.
I know. She's cracked out today. Someone was like, here, just have a little two to this. You'll barely feel anything. And she's like, oh, guess what? You know what I don't like when? I don't like when men are always after me and I'm not into it. Seriously, I'm so sick of it. It's like she just goes on and on in her like office Christmas dress, you know?
She's like, I mean, she's like on another level. She's like, I think I have another dog. I also have a sugar tap, and I also have 5 whiskeys and a tequila. And also, can we get some corn on the cob and some shrimp and some lobster, please? Thank you.
So Gary's like, well, when I look for a woman to love, I want her to be real sensitive. And Allie's like, like laughing way too hard for some reason. So then he starts whispering to her, but really loudly with the camera in his face right in front of Sydney. He's like, well, I don't want myself to look like a dick to you, but I like you. I like you. And she's like, I like you too, even though I refuse to admit it.
I just don't want Sydney to be upset. I really don't. But at the same time, I'm drawn to him every day. I don't know if it's the wheezing or the body odor or just the fact that he sort of looks like one of those stone things from Easter Island. I don't know.
So Sydney's like, yeah, Jean-Luc, do you want to change seats with me? Because this is my dinner theater, and it's worse than Funny Girl in the modern times. Can we please switch? And you can still sit by your girlfriend. So she moves, and Danny tells her, oh, girl, don't worry. Listen, as Beyonce says, the best revenge is your paper. Like, oh, but she's like a deck crew person.
I know, like, but paper? More like the chamois. And so she's like, just Sydney be goes, awesome. Yeah.
Sydney goes, well, I've got that going for me.
But you know what? I really like Danny for, you know, she invoked Beyonce. She knew what she had to do. She invoked Beyonce, even though Sydney is about as far from Beyonce's, you know, glory as anyone could ever be on Bravo.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's a good girlfriend right there. You know,
just reach on, get,
propping her up with Beyonce.
Yeah. As Beyonce says, the best revenge is your paper towels. All right. Get some scrubbing.
I would like to make a toast. Okay. I'd like to make a toast. I'll have to give a toast to Natasha. She had her best charity yet. She made 20 out of 20 pitas and did not fuck up eggs for the first time in her storied career. So congratulations. I love your new attitude. Drink this up.
And Sandy just pops up behind the wall and goes, teamwork makes the dream work, people. And Daisy's like, well, you know, I still think she's crazy, but I decided to try to get along better, and I see a shift in her behavior. Yeah, because you weren't nagging her the whole time. That's a shift in her behavior. Not really saying that that's uncalled for, but that's not. This is a show of non-mysteries, you know?
Yes. So now they all go back to the boat. A show of non-mysteries. It's a murder mystery. So they go up back onto the boat, and Colin, engaging in his favorite behavior, idle gossip, he's like, hi, Sydney. So what about Gary and Allie, huh? Huh? Did you see them? What do you think about that? And she's like, they're adults. There's nothing I can really do.
Yeah, I mean, look at them. They're adults, you know. She's an adult woman who's less fit than me and less attractive. And I know that. So as an adult, you know, I'm just going to have to be okay with being the hot one. And then Allie's talking to Gary, and she's like, that girl over there, Sydney, is very pissed off. Like, just trying really hard so no one hears them, right?
Yeah.
She's like, but, you know, I care about someone else's feelings like Sydney over there.
It's like, yeah, she says it as if Sydney's emotions exist in some strange vacuum. You're just flirting hardcore, you know, nose to nose, right in front of her face in the restaurant with no discretion. And, you know, I get on some level, listen, you're adults. Gary has made his feelings clear to Sydney. Sydney has been incapable completely of moving on. But at the same time, like, you guys don't have to be doing that right in front of her face the entire episode.
Yeah. And so Danny and JL are flirting. And she's like, you're wearing a hat. And he's like, no, you're wearing a hat. She goes, oh, my God, yes, it's me. Thank you for noticing. So do you like it? And he's like, yeah, but everything looks good on you. And then back to Sydney. Sydney's talking to people. And she's like, I mean, or to Colin still. She's like, look, we had our tryst. And I don't know what changed. But it did change, and so be it. It's changed. It changed when you got in the room, and he said, we're just friends, and nothing is ever going to come on this. Yes. This is a one-night stand. That's it. Nothing changed.
Yeah, that's where it changed. So now Allie wants to talk to Danny, and she's like, I'm in a bit of a situation. I want your advice. Gary keeps on trying to kiss me, and I feel like it's being very rude and so coupley right in front of Sydney. Sydney, I guess I was just trying to kiss. Gary wants to kiss me right in front of Sydney.
And Danny's like, look, you know, you shouldn't feel guilty. What they had is a drunken thing. You can't expect her to be 100% cool with it, but, you know, you can still enjoy it. And she's like, oh, then I'll let go just a bit more. You were practically lap dancing at him at dinner. What are you talking about?
So
now, I don't even mind. It's the thing, it's the pretending that they care, you know. It's
exactly.
Just so obnoxious. You obviously don't stop trying to be the good person. You don't have to be the villain either, you know, but stop. So then Sydney's sitting and talking with some of the crew, and they're like, where's Danny? And someone says, oh, she's prepping that master bedroom for Jean-Luc. And Jean-Luc's like, oh, come on, bro. I knew you guys were going to say that.
Oh, man. What? One moment I'm saving the entire ship and perhaps the entire maritime industry, and the next you guys are razzing me, huh? So then Allie and Gary are now over at the bar, and they're making drinks. And he's like, well, you know, when something feels so good, why not pursue it, right? And he just turns and just starts to kiss Allie. At long last, they finally kiss. And it is a horrific kiss. I mean, it looks like someone aggressively trying to make a sandwich happen. You know when there's a sandwich and everything's falling out of it, so you really push those two slices together, really be like, no, you are going to stay as a coherent whole. They were pressed up on each other. Like, it wasn't even a kiss. It was like nose flattening mania.
So Sydney is like, guys, it's so they're kissing. So Sydney comes in because, you know, Sydney, every time she sees them leave, still follows them to wherever they're going, right? So they
amazing.
Go to the bar. So she finds a reason to get up and go to the bar, and they're kissing. And she goes, it's fine. Don't be weird.
Just looking for a Heineken that no one ordered, but I think that maybe people might want in a moment, so I'm just going to look for some Heinekens. Hold on, let me just move by you guys real quickly. Now I'm like, Sydney, you also have to chill out, because now you're actually, as Ronnie said, you're looking for the twister here, so you also need to, like, get out of the situation.
Yeah, still thinking, like, after all of this, it's so annoying with her, because after all of this whole night, she's still gonna try to go down and, like, flirt with Gary and win, you know? It's like, stop, just stop. So then Danny is talking to Sydney, and she's like, come on, let's just have some fun. And she's like, I just can't be around Allie. Why is it her that you can't be around? Like,
yeah,
him too. Like, why is it always the girl, right? I guess because they're friends. Like, she considered them.
They're
friends.
And Allie is, I in this case, I've always I'm always the one that's like, blame the guy, blame the guy. I actually think that Gary has been very upfront in this case. And I think that Allie has been very insincere. So I can understand the frustration towards Allie. but yeah, this whole thing is just such a mess. So then
Sydney is doing that thing where she's going to really bless Danny with the secret that everybody already knows. She's like, I wanted to avoid this. And you're the only person I've told this to, but... we fucked, okay? And that's why it's a little bit more, you know.
Right. And Danny's used to it.
That's why it hurts a little more. And Danny's like, I knew this already, so...
yeah.
Whatever, weirdo.
Danny knows that Sydney's just telling her because she wants Danny to tell everyone and get the gossip to go around the boat. But Danny doesn't fall for it because she's on her own mission, which is to get laid herself in some form tonight.
Yeah.
So she's... like shaking her ass for the group and everything. And JL is getting wasted. And someone knocks over a glass and he gets all angry. And he's like, they're fucking up my teak. Man, I have to clean that up. I like him bitching and moaning about stuff he has to clean up when he hasn't actually cleaned up anything all season.
I know. Every episode there's a scene of how dirty shit is in the morning, right?
Yes.
Like with shit all over the teak. But he doesn't only get mad, like he gets up and walks away. He's like, I gotta walk away from this because I'm so mad about it. And so Danny is talking to Danny goes up to him. She's like, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? He's like, they're ruining my teak, bro. Okay. It's causing more work for me, bro. That's it, bro. I can't take it.
She's like, but that's 2 days from now. Chill, chill. He's like, no, but I'm the fucking one who has to do it. Chill, chill. Look, I'm the one who has to clean the bar after everyone drinks. I'm the one who has to clean up Gary's poop stains after he uses the guest's head, okay? But I don't complain, okay? You're being a fucking pussy. It's fine, okay? Everyone has shots by bar. Everyone has shots. Everyone drinks by the bar. And so she's just like, whatever. And she walks away.
Yeah, and she's like, when I'm drunk, I'm bitchy. When he's drunk, he is like flower that goes, bleh. Like a flower, you know what I mean? A flower with no water, and it goes, bleh. Like that.
Yeah. By the way, Ronnie, I have aphids in my little planter box. Speaking of flowers that need watering, I just would really need your support right now.
You have what in there?
Aphids. I have to go.
Isn't that what you get in your heart when you have heart problems?
An aphid? So. Oh, the aphib is one thing. This is aphid.
I just read this article on Twitter, okay, that said people are killing the earth with plants because they're using a planter that is not sustainable. So I mean, you might want to check on that. You might actually be killing the earth.
What is a non-sustainable planter?
It's some kind of soil with something called something in there. Peakies or pookies. Unsustainable soil. Okay, I'm not going to look it up. No one is here for us to talk about soil. We're literally supposed to avoid the soil, but I do support you and your aphib, even though you're ruining the earth.
Aphids. So aphids are little bugs. They're little bugs, and they need to go, and it's bothering me.
Oh, so speaking of little bugs. Don't kill the aphids. They're like, dad!
Dad! Yeah, they're all little saffrons, just like nibbling at the leaves.
Ben's like, this picture would be perfect without the aphids in it.
We're going to get this aphid $100,000 of plastic surgery now. Dad! So
JL goes to the guys and he's like, well, I guess I'm in the shitter because I told her about the teak. I'm just over this. And Colin's like, why are you crying about it, bro? Come on. He's like, because it turns me off, bro, the way she's acting, bro. Like, it's not me, bro. I need my woman to respect the teak, brah, right?
And Danny, meanwhile, has now moved on to Allie and is now making out with Allie. And she's like, I want to do a lot tonight, but JL's being a fucking pussy, okay? So now all the girls are together. The groups are just, they move back and forth so quickly. So now all the girls are together and all the girls are toasting to the power of the pussy. And then Danny is like, someone's such a bitch to JL.
Yeah, and then she spills her beer. She's like, whoops, I just dropped my beer. JL's going to have to clean tomorrow. And everyone's kind of awkward, but still too drunk to care.
Yeah.
So then Natasha is talking to Sydney and Colin, and this is where Natasha's doing that thing that there's always someone at a Christmas party doing this. Like, you know what? It's not just about sex to me. It's about more. And I love my body so much that, you know, I'm not going to just give it away to anybody. It's going to be somebody who really deserves this. You want all this? You want all this? Oh, yeah, they're lining up around the street. But if you really want it, it's like going off about how much she doesn't want to be with somebody.
Yeah. And then Sydney goes, well, I mean, if you think a guy is worth having sex with because of his work ethic, I mean, look at Gary. I mean, he's got a great work ethic, but I would not want him to be my boyfriend at all. Definitely not my boyfriend. Husband, I'm open to. Husband would be great. Life partner, I'm open to that. Yeah.
And Colin's like, so Gary's good at sex is what you're saying? And she goes, no, he's not. Whoops. Just said we're having sex. And Colin's like, yeah. Oh, so you slept together then. And she's like, oh, look, I'm not going to talk shit. I just will say I've had better drunk sex.
So Danny then is like, I'm just horny and I'm trying to have some sex right now. And he's like, JL's being so quiet. So let's go, Allie. Let's go. So Danny takes Allie to the guest room. And now Gary, which is kind of funny because now Gary's mad because Gary's finally gotten to kiss Allie, and now he's losing Allie to Danny. He's like, hey, who's cock blocking you? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and eating a chip. And so Gary's like, JL, calm down. Why are you so angry? It's stupid. So then Danny and Allie, it seems like they're just doing that thing that girls do in clubs where they're like, let's make out and then turn on guys.
Yeah.
Like in college. So she's like, get in the bed, bitch. And then they really start going at it. And this is not a good kiss as well, I have to say. You know, Allie's like kind of coming in for a good, like, open mouth, but still gross. But then Danny's just like licking everything off of her, you know, like a human napkin.
It's still better. It's still better than Gary and Allie's kiss. I mean, Gary and Allie's kiss was like an accordion compressing, right? It just, you know.
It's but like half the accordion is made of ham and half of it is made out of like hot dogs, you know. It just like doesn't fit together
and
right.
And all pig product accordion. Yeah, it just doesn't, it's just, it's bad. But yeah, but this is at least has a little nicer to look at. So so they're like, they are going at it. And then meanwhile, upstairs, Natasha is like, I value my body and I don't want to give myself to anyone that's not worth it. And then this is the thing about people. People don't understand these things. And I want my spicy pizza. I want my spicy pizza right now. It's like, okay, Natasha.
And JL is still bitching about the teak. He's like, oh, God. I mean, I can't believe she treated me like that over the teak. Meanwhile, Allie is undressing Danny. And then Gary and we hear Danny go, bitch, come and lick my vagina. And then we hear them moaning. Someone's going like, behind the locked door. And yeah. Gary and JL realize they're just alone now watching JL cry about Teak. So they go to find them and hear the moaning and start cracking up. And they're knocking. They're like, can we come in? They're like, no, it's locked on purpose.
Yeah, I actually thought, I thought that was kind of rude. Like, they're doing something. Why are you, like, why do you think you can just go in there and interrupt? That's not cool. Like, you had your chance, and you were bitching about Teak, so you had your chance. But it works anyway. So then they do eventually come out the door, but then Allie bolts out of the room, and then JL goes in, and he's like, oh, you were enjoying yourself with Allie, weren't you? You know what I enjoy? Getting Teak out of the wood. I really enjoy that. That was sarcasm.
Meanwhile, Natasha is talking about the importance of carbon emission reduction on the earth. Just kidding. She's talking about how like everyone wants to bang her, but she won't do it. And so she's like, but, you know, it would be nice if there were some single guys on the boat. And Sydney's like, yeah, our options are limited. And so everyone just leaves them. They're like, yeah, we don't need to get into that conversation.
And we also hear that now Danny and JL are behind closed doors. And I love when Danny says this, she goes, you know, I work really hard for this body and I don't want this body to be in the dark. And he's like, oh, holy moly, Mary and Josie. she's like, I love how like proudly sexual she is. I think it's kind of great.
And then Natasha is like, you know what? I want to spend time with you, but I also want my own individuality. It's like, oh my God, Natasha.
Who's stuck talking to her? Her little TED talk.
She is still going on. Meanwhile, everyone else on the boat is fucking, right? Because now Gary and Allie are making out. And, well, it's, and they're it's doing not it in just, front of yeah, they're doing it in you. Front of the group that they're talking to. They're with Sydney and Natasha and Colin, and they just start making out, and Natasha and Gary are like,
So that's where it was obnoxious.
Not Gary. Who leaves? Natasha and
Gary walks away. Well, okay. So what the thing is this, they're all sitting in like a circle and they're just hanging out. And then out of nowhere, Gary and Allie just start making out in the circle, this social circle. So it's weird anyway. It would have been weird even if there weren't a history with Sydney. But there is a history with Sydney. And I just feel like, you know, don't talk, you know, on Allie's part. Okay, I believed it in the beginning that you wanted to be a good friend, etc. And I do support, you know, like there was a line drawn between Gary and Sydney, and at a certain point, Sydney has to get over it. But Allie has really gone above and beyond to be all, oh, I don't want to hurt her. I'm still friends with her. I don't know why she's mad at me. And then she like literally makes out right in front of this girl who clearly still has feelings for Gary. Whether they're psychotic or not, she still has feelings. It was so obnoxious.
I think what she's doing is she's trying to force a public fight. Like, she's trying to wait right. for Sydney to say something so she can force a public fight so that everybody can kind of be on her side.
Exactly.
And they can just say that Sydney's the crazy one instead of just, you know, growing some heels and going to Sydney and saying, look, I really like you, and I'm sorry things didn't work out with him, but I like him and I'm going for it.
Yes. So, exactly
so
correct.
She's doing it in front of everybody to make Sydney look crazy, which already Sydney already looks crazy.
Yes.
You know, like, come on. So Natasha and Colin walk away. That's who I meant. So Gary and Sydney are now there with Allie. Because Sydney, of course, doesn't leave. So then Colin kind of stands there and he's like, well, what's going on with you, Sydney? And she's like, now's not the time to discuss that. And Allie's like, well, just speak your mind about it then. Just say it, whatever you're gonna say.
And Sydney's like, a lady never reveals her secrets. Well, Sydney, you're not really a lady, to be honest. And to not gender shaming, I'm just saying, you're not Diana Ross, okay? So, and also, this is where Sydney's annoying.
This isn't Downton Abbey.
Yeah, this is where Sydney is annoying because she isn't being upfront with exactly how, she actually has not been upfront with how she feels really the whole season. So she's like, a lady never tells her secrets except for all the dolphins that just want to fuck her. Hey, boys, what's yeah. going on, single lady?
And except that I just went and told, you know, at least two people that we fucked, you know?
Yeah.
So she's like, I've learned not to spill my guts to fucking strangers. And Allie's like, but I'm not a stranger. She goes, yes, you are. I don't know you. I don't know you.
Yeah. And Allie's like, all right, say bye. See you later. And Sydney goes, she's not going to be my friend. We can be roommates, but she's not my friend. And then Allie is... Then Allie starts telling Gary that she's like, you know, I'm not going to do this. I'm not a passive aggressivist. I'm like, you actually have been. This is, you, remember when you made out in front of Sydney 5 minutes ago? That was passive aggressive.
Yeah. And then it cuts to JL still having sex and he just goes, oh, babe, oh, that hurts.
And then and Sydney's like, I don't know why Allie's so pissed at me. I'm like, she's pissed at you. Because you're not being upfront with how you really feel. But then this is also Allie's stupidity because at a certain point she has to realize you're just that Sydney is psycho and she has to stop being so concerned with what Sydney feels.
So Sydney's taking drinks up. And
which, by the way, it sounds totally totally contradictory to what I was saying about how she should take Sydney's feelings into consideration. It's like she should take her emotional... She knows how Sydney feels. She knows exactly how Sydney feels. So she shouldn't try to elicit that quote-unquote honesty from Sydney. She knows how she feels. She knows Sydney doesn't want to be upfront about it. So just like understand this girl has feelings and just, you know, try to just be courteous.
So then Sydney's taking drinks up and sees Allie. And Allie's like, are we going to hash this out or what? I mean, I know you feel some kind of a way. And, you know, you got affection for him. And Sydney's like, no, this is about you feeling guilty about what you're doing that you're trying to put on me. And she's like, but I've been so respectful. I've gone above and beyond. You can even look at the selfie we took of me sitting on Gary's lap tonight at dinner.
Well, do you want me to tell you what makes me uncomfortable?
If it does make me uncomfortable.
And then she goes, it doesn't make me uncomfortable. I'm like, Sydney, All right, Sydney, you're either going to, like, I can't. Sydney is driving me nuts, too. Allie's driving me nuts. Sydney's driving me nuts.
So then Gary is watching all of this with Colin, and he's like, this can't be about me, bro. No woman would fight over me. I mean, come on, bro. Which I like that he's self-aware, because that's also my issue. It's like, why are you fighting over that?
Yeah.
You're fighting over Gary, okay?
Yeah. And Sydney's like, why are you forcing these conversations? Just do what you want to do. She's like, well, it's all about the fact that I care about how you feel. But it's like, you don't care about how she feels. You were just making out in front of her face. That's what was driving me nuts.
So Allie's like, but we have a connection. She goes, then have your connection. But then be mad at him. Gary, come over here. You need to be yelled at instead of me, because this is you that was in this trouble with Sydney. So come here. So then Gary marches over there, and I guess this is probably what Allie was going for the whole time, right? So Gary walks over there, and he's like, listen, I fucked up, and I'm sorry, because it was me who caused the stew with you, Sydney, but my feelings are for Allie, and they're not the feelings that I have for you, so sorry about that, but that's it. And it's just like, puts a definitive end. But Sydney's like, Jesus, what? You know, it's humiliating.
She's like crying.
You know?
She's humiliated.
Like, she's getting yelled at in front of people. So he's the worst.
She knows that. She knows all these things. She knows all these things. She's probably aware that she's being made to look like a psycho. She has done psycho things, to be fair. But this was... There's nothing to discuss. I thought it was actually very cruel of Allie and Gary. You know, this Sydney clearly has hung up. She has feelings for this guy. We all think it's crazy, but at the same time, she has, her heart is pining. And these two, they make out right in front of her. She gets agitated, right? It's like it's hard to deal with. And then they're like, "What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong?" Well, why can't you say what's wrong? It's just so cruel.
Yeah, and she's crying. She's like, well, do what you want. Just leave me alone. So they walk off and she follows them, probably.
Yeah, she's like in their bed when they get back. Yeah. Okay, guys. Sorry, I was just looking for a Heineken.
Well, that brings us to the end of Below Deck. Thank you so much for being with us. This week's bonus is Real Housewives of Atlanta for those of you who are missing that one. And go get tickets for the live show this Thursday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Real Housewives of New York premiere. You can get those at onlocationlive.com/watchwhatcrappens. And go vote on our Instagram stories for your most underrated Real Housewives of New York housewife.
Yeah. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's Run Some Errands with Emily Ahrens.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie, she's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler. Let's give them a kiss, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthew Sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Capsewell.
She's cheese on a bagel. It's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.